I thought Alex played extremely well. It was a matter of why the fourth quarter. I mean, the only response to it is, you know, I probably should have played him a little bit earlier. But like I said, I thought he did a nice job, threw the ball around well, hit a few runs, managed the game okay, did fine. How do I think Skyler played? Not as well as he's capable.
Well, that rung volumes with a lot of people after the game when K-State lost to West Virginia 35-6. Bill Snyder there with the quotes. Praise for Alex Dilton. Nothing too much good to say about Skylar Thompson. Reports are now that Kansas State is changing starting quarterbacks going into the Texas game, and Alex Dilton will be the new quarterback at K-State. According to Kellis Robinette, Snyder making this decision, and in fact, he made a decision to pull Skylar Thompson without talking to his coordinators, his young coaches that he has, and Skylar Thompson was even blindsided by the fact he was being pulled from the game, and Snyder went and told Dilton, "You're going in." So Dilton will have to try to grab the opportunity. Last year, K-State, Texas, Dilton played very well in that game. Texas will have some tape to prepare for Dilton. And obviously it'll be to slow down the quarterback run game. So there are problems in Manhattan, and it sounds like there's a rift or an issue between the old guard and the new guard, the young coaches and Mr. Snyder. And I'm going to say right now, it's interesting that this pops up today on CBSSports.com. Clemson just announced who their starting quarterback is. They're making a change to the freshman Lawrence. And Kelly Bryant, who started last year and took him all the way to the national semifinals, now a day later says, what do you think he's saying?
See you, Clemson.
He's leaving Clemson.
Because he can, because he's only played four games this year.
So he says, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And remember, Jebby of Nebraska left as soon as he lost the job to Adrian Martinez. He said, I'm out of here. And I think that's the fear. If you're a K-State fan and you like Skylar Thompson, I think you have to be very concerned right now that Skylar Thompson, after being jerked around as he has been so far this year, I think, and it's not like he played horrible the other day, and I understand if Coach Snyder wants a spark with Alex Dilton and wants to switch quarterbacks, but the way it was handled, if I'm Skylar Thompson, I don't appreciate it. Even if it's Bill Snyder, the god of K-State football. Don't care who it is. If I'm Skylar Thompson, I'm sure he's had a talk with his family and some friends. I would imagine the word transfer has popped up in their conversation here in the last few days. And if he leaves, there are going to be a lot of K-State fans really ticked off at Coach Snyder. So be careful the slope you walk. Now, maybe it'll all work out. Dilton will be great. Thompson will wait his turn, and he'll be the starter next year. But isn't Dilton a junior?
Yeah.
So Thompson would have to wait behind Dilton. If Dilton plays great this year, then Dilton's going to start next year. And then Thompson would have what, just a senior year?
Yeah.
It'd make no sense for him to stick around. If Dilton's the entrenched starter, he should go ahead and transfer.
Yeah.
And how many games have we played?
Four.
Hello?
Yeah.
So I think that's the concern if you're a K-State fan. Is not necessarily the change at quarterback, it's the repercussions of the change at quarterback. And if Skylar Thompson decides to do what Jebby at Nebraska did and what Kelly Bryant's doing at Clemson, because they were kind of in a platoon situation at Clemson, and now they decided, okay, Lawrence is our guy, we picked one, and Bryant says, see you later.
Yeah.
I don't know if Skylar Thompson will do that or not, but he certainly has the right to.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, I watched the first Clemson game against Texas A&M. I felt like the platoon was kind of messing them up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pick a guy,
yeah,
whether it's Brian or Lawrence, because, I mean, they both played fairly decent, but it was messing up their rhythm. It's just like K-State's rhythm is being messed up offensively when they keep doing that. It's on a different level. Clemson's clearly a better team, but,
it is.
It's just aggravating. The whole situation is aggravating.
It really is. And we'll see how it goes from here for Kansas State football. All right, local sports information. Dusty, volleyball last night. We have locker room chats today.
Yes, volleyball last night. We'll get to first here as we had scores from Beloit, where the Beloit Lady Trojans picked up a sweep over Southeast of Saline last night, and games that you could have seen on NCKSSports.com there. Lady Trojans get the two wins, 25-15 and 27-25, and 15-22 in the second match as they improved to 8-0 in the NCAA. St. John's Tipton winning over Chase and Lakeside in two last night over in Beloit. Lakeside beat Chase in two. And then it was at Tescott, Osborne picked up two wins. They beat Tescott and Wilson, both in two. Pike Valley Triangular Sylvan Lucas over Rock Hills and Pike Valley in two, and Pike Valley beat Rock Hills in two. And Thunder Ridge improved to 19-0 with two wins last night in a double duel with Lincoln. They won both of those matches in two. For full scores from all those matches and more, you can check out ncksports.com for high school volleyball on Tuesday night. Again, we have our high school football locker room chats coming up here this evening. We'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, Lincoln, and Thunder Ridge tonight, and that'll begin around 5:10 this evening. And you can always go back and check those out on our podcast as well at katycountry94.com with our high school football locker room chats throughout the season. So stay tuned for all that coming up here this evening.
Well, the baseball playoff races are getting interesting, especially in the National League. The Rockies with a big win last night.
This is in the air to pretty deep left field. Cousins going back, and it is gone again. Three-run home run. Unfortunately, the same spot as last night. How do you like that, David Dahl?
Dahl with a three-run homer. The Rockies win, and the Dodgers against the D-backs. Here's how this one ended last night.
3-2 pitch, and a high drive deep right field, and that's a winner. Home run Escobar, a walk-off, and the Diamondbacks have beaten the Dodgers here tonight by a final score of 4-3.
Oh, my. Rockies a half game behind the Dodgers for the division title. The Rockies now have a half-game lead for the second wild card. Here is the remaining schedule. Tell me who you like. Cardinals have one game against the Brewers. The Brewers are a half game behind the Cubs now for the division title. So Cardinals and Brewers, both teams obviously giving it their all. The Cardinals have a game against the Brewers, three against the Cubs. The Cubs still need to win. They might have to win out to win the division. The Dodgers have one game against the D-backs, who are out of it, and three games against the Giants, which is a rivalry, but the Giants are out of it. The Rockies have two games against the Phillies, who have been mathematically eliminated, and then three games against the Nationals, who have been out of it for a long time. Boy, I tell you what, I look at this schedule here, and I think the Cardinals are in deep trouble after playing so good and so well for so long after change of managers. One game against the Brewers are trying for the division title, half game behind the Cubs. Then they play three games against the Cubs, who are battling the Brewers, as they just referred to, although the Cubs have clinched a playoff spot. The Dodgers, one game against the D-backs. They lost last night at D-backs, three against the Giants. And that's the Giants usually try to spoil the party because they hate the Dodgers. The Rockies seem to have the most favorable schedule of those three.
Yeah. I would, right now, I'd pick the Rockies to win the division.
That'd be awesome. First time they ever win the division if that happens.
And then the Dodgers and Brewers to be the wild cards, obviously.
Yeah.
I think the Cubs are going to get it done.
Well, they've clinched the playoff spot, but for the division?
I think the Cubs will win their division.
Okay.
And who are the Brewers?
Well, here we go. The Cardinals, the Brewers
Cubs
have one.
The Cardinals there for the last
time. Well, I haven't given you all the Cubs. The Cubs got two against the Pirates, three against the Cardinals. The Brewers have one against the Cardinals, three against the Tigers. So if the Brewers win out, the Cubs have to win out.
I changed my mind.
The Cubs have to win out.
The Brewers to win.
If the Brewers win out, they'll win the division. I think they have the tiebreaker.
I
think the Brewers have the tiebreaker. So if the Brewers win out, they will win the division.
Brewers, Cubs, and Brewers division, and Cubs and Dodgers are the wild cards.
Let me correct myself. If the Cubs, to guarantee the Cubs get the division, they have to win out. Now, if the Cubs lose one game and the Brewers win out, the Brewers win the division.
Yeah.
So the Cubs need to go 4-1, actually, to assure they win the division. They if they win the last five, Cubs win the division. If the Brewers win their last four and the Cubs lose one, Brewers are going to be your division champs. Wow. Pretty wild stuff.
Yes.
Looks like the Yankees going to wrap home field advantage for the wild card, and they'll take on the A's. The Astros last night, they win their 100th game for the second straight season. They win the AL West, so the American League pretty much is all figured out. Red Sox with a franchise record, 106 wins. And Max Scherzer, well, he's pretty good. Unfortunately, his team isn't.
The 3-2 pitch coming home. Swing and a miss! He got him on a slider! And there it is! Scherzer's 300th strikeout here in 2018. And this crowd will salute the great Max Scherzer.
For the first time since 2002, a right-handed pitcher has struck out 300 batters in a season, and that is Max Scherzer. He fanned 10 Marlins last night. He's the first righty pitcher with 300 strikeouts since Curt Schilling back in 2002. He's only the third pitcher in the past 15 years to strike out 300 batters in a season. Scherzer doing it this year. Chris Sale last year, Clayton Kershaw in 2015. Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, both with the D-backs in 2002. And, of course, they won a World Series thanks to those two arms. And we mentioned the Astros, a 4-1 win over the Blue Jays. They're 157 defending World Series champions, look pretty strong as they head into the postseason. So that's an update on the Major League playoffs and the situation that you have with the Red Sox wrapping up the East. They'll have home field throughout the American League playoffs. Cleveland, a division winner. Houston, a division winner. So that means that the Yankees will host the A's, it looks like. I guess technically the Yankees could stumble and the A's went out and somehow the A's maybe could get the wild card, the home field. I don't think they will, though. So, and then Boston would have the winner of the Yankees A's. You could have Yankees versus Red Sox in the divisional series. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to pick the Yankees. The Red Sox have 106 wins. Yankees are 97 wins right now. It's not like it'd be a huge upset. And oh, by the way, it does help to have one really bad team in a division. The Red Sox are 15-2 against Baltimore this year. They're 15-4 against Toronto. And Toronto's not horrible, but they're not great. They're 71-87. Baltimore's 45-111. And granted, they play 19 games against the Yankees, a lot of games against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay would be one game out of the American League Central if they were in the Central. Instead, they're in the East, and they're out by 19 games. So 30 of the Red Sox 106 wins are against the two worst teams in their division. Yeah. So, well, that's part of it, though. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Beat them to a pulp. The Royals did that a few years ago when they won the World Series. They were able to beat the White Sox quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that helps you, obviously.
Exactly. I mean, win them division games. That's the most important when you beat those kind of teams that you're going to play more often.
Yes.
No matter how good or bad they are, the goal is to win the division and make it to the playoffs.
That's right.
Get into the tournament, and whatever happens there, that's where you go from.
But the playoffs are a different animal. Best out of five series. Isn't the first series a best out of five?
Yeah.
And that's scary for the Red Sox, I think. Yankees, with their starting pitching and their bullpen, shorten the game.
Yeah, you hope they, if you're the Red Sox, you probably hope the A's.
You're hoping for the A's, and the A's is like, who the heck are going to start that wild card game? All their main pitchers are hurt, and they're piecing it together. I mean, Trevor Cahill could be their starting pitcher.
It's not likely, but you're hoping that happens.
Trevor Cahill might be their starting pitcher for game one. I mean, there's a possibility. Mike Fears, guys, at a retreads. Shamania out for the year and out for most of next year with shoulder surgery. Hey, the Royals, they just have to go 3-2 the rest of the way to avoid their worst record in franchise history. This is their 50th year of baseball in KC. Hunter Dozier, one of the young guys, although he is 26 now. Big home run last night.
Hunter Dozier blasted deep to left field. Gone.
Dozier with a leadoff homer in the ninth. The Royals win 4-3 over the Reds. And Ryan O'Hearn with his 12th homer, and he's played in just 40 games. That's pretty impressive. And then there's Adalberto Mondesi. Listen to this from Jason Stark of The Athletic. Mondesi has 26 stolen bases and 12 home runs. The most games he can play in this year is 75 because he got called up later. The only player in history since 1900 with that many home runs and stolen bases in 75 games or fewer is Trey Turner in 2016, a very good player for the Nationals. Stark says, we're talking star power. So many people are talking about 23-year-old Patrick Mahomes. But 23-year-old Adalberto Mondesi might become the best shortstop in the game. And the Royals have him. And we said all along, he's a centerpiece for them to turn it around.
Oh, yeah.
And
you just needed to make sure you had the bat ready.
Yeah.
That's all you needed. And the bat's ready.
It looks
obviously
like it's ready.
Right now it is.
Absolutely. Let's hear from Ned Yost. That's another question. Will Ned be back to manage next year? His contract runs out into this season in a week. I think Ned's going to be back, especially after I hear him talk like this about Dozier and O'Hearn.
The thing that's impressive to me is, yes, they both have tremendous power. Yes, they have quick strike capability, but the improvements that these kids have made offensively and defensively has been really, I mean, real special for me. I mean, I've really enjoyed them. I've really enjoyed watching them get better as big league players.
Man, it sounds like a guy that's coming back.
He seems excited about the young group. Of course, that's the way he was when it was the first time around here when he first took the job.
Right.
And, you know, he was excited to have the young guys. And I don't know if maybe development is what really gets him
development
really going. You know,
energy, youth.
That's how he really started in the system for the Royals, was really with development.
Yeah.
And I think that really gets him going and gets him excited about what could happen with some of these guys that are in the future?
I think if you asked Ned in June, hey, are you coming back? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But the way they played the last couple of months, I think there's a different, there's a refound, renewed optimism and energy with these younger players. I mean, Brad Keller, Heath Fehlmeyer, Mondesi, Dozier, O'Hearn, Phillips, Jorge Lopez. I mean, you got some pieces now that you start to get a little bit excited about. Okay, KU football, one of the big problems David Beatty has, and, you know, I think David Beatty's a really good guy. I think he's a great guy, good person, everything I know. But I've always thought he's just not a head coach. I mean, the players play for him hard. I mean, he has respect of his teammates. But he doesn't handle game management very well at all. Now, luckily for him, KU's not in a lot of close games.
Yeah.
But whenever they are, like the first game of the year against Nicholls State, he burns timeouts for no – for. Like, whenever it's fourth down, he almost seems like he always burns a timeout because he needs more time to process and think about what he wants to do. You should already be thinking on third down whether or not you're going to go for it on fourth. You should be thinking ahead, playing ahead. Perhaps he needs to be a baseball manager so he has a little bit more time to put it all together. KU burns their timeouts at some weird times. And what's interesting is then they burn their timeouts, and then they don't have timeouts to preserve the clock at the end of a half or at the end of a game, and they waste timeouts. Twice, KU had 12 men on the field in the fourth quarter. Had trouble rotating in fresh defensive linemen. And they put in some new defensive packages this week, but yet that apparently created some confusion. In the first half, David Beatty called a timeout before his kicker lined up for a 48-yard field goal attempt on 4th and 22. Well, he ain't going for it. So what? Did it take him too long to decide to kick the field goal and they ran out of time? Because I didn't see the game. Maybe the play clock wound down and he had to call a timeout. Once again, you've got to be thinking ahead a little bit. And David Beatty doesn't seem to be very good at that. Or he and his coaching staff aren't very good at it. So when it comes to a close game, if they ever have one in the Big 12, I think KU will just totally butcher it.
You don't ice your own kicker on a 48-yard field goal, especially in college. Like, like those guys aren't
not a good idea.
Quite as skilled as the pro guys. So you definitely don't on a 48, exactly like you said, 4th and 22. Like, what's there to decide here? And I'm more on the side of maybe you should probably punt after you just iced your kicker.
David Beatty used 5 timeouts against Baylor. None were used to stop the clock. So have some issues. Okay, we got some local volleyball information.
It's not volleyball, but just classifications in general. Right. They just came in from the Kansas State High School Activities Association as we were talking here. So I can give you the gist of the local schools, and then we'll have it posted at nckssports.com. It'll have a full breakdown there of where everybody's at in the state. But in our area, there's only one change, despite the big changes of amount of schools that are going either which way. Lincoln is the only team in our area that's moved to classification, as they're down from 2A to 1A, which we expected that with the numbers of schools that are now in 1A with all the shifting at the top. But Lincoln is 2A to 1A. Everybody else that was in 1A stays in 1A. That would include St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, Osborne, Thunder Ridge, and Sylvan Lucas. And then Smith Center stays 2A, and Beloit keeps themselves in 3A. They're actually middle pack 3A school there for Beloit. So, again, the full classifications, all here in a bit this morning, we'll post those at nckssports.com and have complete classifications for you. You can probably right now go to kasha.org, kshaa.org, and find those complete classifications right now. Again, as far as our area is concerned, Lincoln is the only one that has, again, moved classifications. They moved down to 1A from 2A. Pike Valley, Southern Cloud, they're both still in 1A as well. And so that's a look at the classifications and the new look at the Kansas State High School Activities Association here today. So, again, those classifications, I'll post those when I get a chance at nckssports.com. Coming up soon, we will have probably some volleyball, cross-country, tennis, regional and sub-state assignments. Again, volleyball will change a bit this year with 1A, as they'll go from regional to sub-states. So that's what we got, and we'll, again, continue to keep you up to date with Kasha at nckssports.com.